communications and community engagement for the project. And I've been doing it for about 18 months, so came onto it after some stage, but before the first, before the turning the committee, the strategic sites committee turned it down in May of 18 months ago. Really, my job has been engaging the national, and particularly the national media, national political voices around this issue, the national creative economy and sector, and as well as engaging with those community interests across High Wycombe and Buckinghamshire and Marlow, focusing on some areas, particularly education, as education and training and skills is going to be critical of what we're doing, so we've had a lot of engagement there, BNU and Bucks College Group and others. A lot of engagement with the very large number of people who in Buckinghamshire and indeed Marlow work in the creative industries, the creative sector, to bring them in and inform them of this. Clearly we've been in a long process to get planning permission. It's taken a very long time, 5-6 years. I wasn't here at the beginning either, but people have long memories. The process, as you know, culminated in the verdict by the Secretary of State in November last year, and we're now in the process of building. But that's what I am, that's the sort of role I cover. So I'll leave my introduction to talk on first.
Hello, I'm Deborah Keeshan, and I am a local lead on community engagement. I've got a background in development and training in psychology, as well as a bit of law, so that keeps me right. But my aim has been, I took the role over in October 24, so again, came to the project really quite late after a lot of goings-on. And my aim has been to reach out to people in Marlow, have conversations, as Richard said, brainstorming sessions with students, with schools, people in the creative industry, to help. We can look to add value as and when we appear. So I have a very, very nice role in just engaging with people. It's nice to be here tonight to actually roll that out a bit further with you guys and look at how we can make that even more efficient and effective.
Yes, I'm Jenny Simnett, Town Councillor for South East Ward and Deputy Mayor this year.
I'm Cathy Thompson, same ward, so near the film studio, and my background's management consulting firms.
I'm Justine Towns, I'm a Town Councillor for the Marlow South Ward, and I've been a councillor for the last 18 years. I'll pick up my medal later.
Name engraved as well up there, actually.
Oh, yeah.
Yes. Mark Spoyles, councillor in South Ward as well. Just so. Yes.
I'm Frank Scoffs, councillor North and West, and background in engineering.
So I'm Gavin Atoll, councillor in North West. But I just wanted to check quickly as you were introducing yourselves, who are you actually representing legally this evening? As to when we got the invite, it's Marlow Film Studios, then there's talk about it being Dino property.
And yes, just for clarity on this, and I perhaps should be clear earlier, Dino Properties has always been the legal vehicle that was responsible for the planning permission of Marlow Film Studios. When we came to the end of last year, largely because the campus development that we're building is going to have a wider set of clients than just film. We are now the Marlow Studios, rebranding exercise, massive change, but we are now Marlow Studios. And the name of the company has now changed from Dido to Marlow Studios. So we are Marlow Studios, we represent Marlow Studios. I'm employed by Marlow Studios. So
that's it. Thank you.
Justin Whelan from North and West.
Owen Elliott, North and West Councillor, and this year Chair of Planning.
Emma Hawkins in the South East Ward, and also live on the estate. closest to where the film studio will be.
So on
on the Gunthorpe Wiltshire Road Gunthorpe. Street.
Mary Boulay, I'm councillor and mayor this year, and background sustainability.
Thank you very much indeed. And I just thought, as it's being recorded, I just take some notes that I will read from, just to make sure I'm not saying the right thing. If you excuse me, the aim from this is to, for it to be informal, and I'm really grateful for what the clerk has done in setting this up and start this process. Discussing this process and before the planning decision finally came through, it's been good that it's happening. Really important that we connect. And not just an opportunity to talk. You see us, we see you, and we can think how together how we're going to engage over the coming months and years. And really what I want to do tonight is to hear your views on how we do engage. I think there are lots of complicated questions we've answered and can't answer, too far off to answer now, but the most important is, can we put in place that architecture that makes our bilateral conversations the most use to you? We want to build a plan that satisfies your interests and ours. And I hope today that we can be all sort of, the conversation can be future-facing. The founding of Marlowe Studios is going to be one of the most significant things to happen in Marlowe in many years. We have absolutely aware of the consequential nature of what it is that we're doing. We don't underplay that, underestimate that at all. We think its impact is going to be positive, but I understand the full range of opinion and views that are in this room. And I want to be clear, this is not a PR exercise. I'm not trying to change your points of view around the table. If you're a Guinness to being pro, that's not my aim here, but it is to try and ensure that we engage substantively with you as elected representatives, so that you're kept fully informed and that the process, fully informed of the process through construction and indeed beyond. We're having other meetings with other wards and other councillors on the same basis. And, you know, whatever the views have been in the past about this long campaign, pro and anti, for and against, passionate on both sides. I just want to see whether we can begin this process to build a constructive working relationship that fundamentally is going to be in the residents' interest. I mean, as I said, I reached out to Hillary before the decision was made. I think trying to set in place and trying to really glad that this conversation with you is now happening rather than us having to sort of engage through email. We both merit a closer sort of contact. But just to run through it, after a full planning decision, Marlowe has been made now, and the coming Buckinghamshire local plan will reflect this when adopted. Public inquiry held in High Wycombe January and February, many of you attended, provided a rigorous examination of all these issues around the project, exhaustive detail, and we're grateful for all sides for their contribution, for and against. It was a thoroughly forensic exercise. The complete 16 days of hearings are on our YouTube channel, if anyone wants to go back into the detail. And a lot of people, a lot of great expertise was expressed on all sides of the arm. But a public inquiry is one of the most sophisticated and rigorous forums available to determine planning matters, in order that all the issues, including community concerns, are weighed up. And following the inquiry, the planning inspector did recommend the project to go ahead, and on that basis, in November 26 last year, the Minister of State for Housing and Planning announced the government's agreement on it. The High Court received no challenges to the decision, and so planning approval has been granted and the project is now underway. 3 months ago, a lot of decisions, of course, on our side, awaited the planning decision to be made, so we're now pedaling hard to sort of catch up. But we are making good progress in building our teams, in reaching out to the sort of conversation we need to have, and undertaking the range of pre-construction assessments that are required. It's a very complicated project. £1 billion worth of investment. There's a lot of money to spend on buildings, and it's a complicated business process to bring together the various experts and construction companies and advisors into the one place to do it. But the planning process also includes a wide range of other requirements that are built into the planning consent. They are progressing in parallel to other matters, including improvements to accessible studios from Marlow across the bridge, and as part of the full set of planning conditions. So there's a lot of stuff going on beneath the surface. We're sailing serenely on top, but there's a lot of peddling going on, a lot of conversations, a lot of committee meetings, some of which are in the public domain, some are not, but you will be familiar, those who follow us will be familiar with. We're also relocating our current headquarters in Marlow Place to an office nearer to the site, so that our team will have the necessary space to plan, implement and deliver a scheme of this magnitude. These issues are not on the agenda for the day, and it'll be some time before I'm able to give a precise timetable for the project and its completion. But we do start with the ambition to keep you as well informed as is possible. We understand that any building project of this scale brings with it factors that are going to be of concern or irritation to local residents, of come what may. And we want to work closely with contractors and absolutely with you to make sure that any issues arising from this are, you know, everyone is informed and kept up to date. The scale of this is a $1 billion investment in jobs and careers, the economy and our national infrastructure. We see this very much as a national icon. From our perspective, our ambition is to build something that Marlow can be proud of. We think this area of the UK can be the epicentre of the UK's creative industry economy. We're generating over 4,000 jobs, billions of pounds of local investment, and represent a multi-generational source of careers for our community.
I think what would be helpful, can we stick to facts and go towards...
Stick to facts,
because these are hypotheses that have been put forward to project the benefits of the project. But they're not facts, they're projected. So I think if we could go to...
Okay, then I'll just give two figures which are factual in the sense that they are part of our planning consent. We've allocated more than £3.5 billion worth of spending in film production in the first decades, two-thirds of every pound spent will flow into the wider economy, and we are committed to, as part of that planning, £1 every £3 being spent on local small and medium-sized businesses and suppliers. Those are facts. We are building a creative campus that will provide a home for the world's greatest storytellers, for production companies and for the broad range of creatives, technologies, artists and other workers that make up the creative economy. We may support the project or not support it, but that is what our ambition is. Our commitment to training and development for our young people, many of whom are passionate about a career in this industry, is industry leading. For us, this meeting represents the next step in a series of engagements we've already had with various community bodies in this area over the last 5 years. The planning process commits us formally to a full programme of community liaison with both Little Marlow Council and their residents and with Buckinghamshire Council. That's a process that is led by Buckinghamshire Council and is the primary legal interlocutor in planning terms with Little Marlow Council, and we're meeting them towards the end of this month. But we don't want it to be simply that. We also see interests of others in the wider Buckinghamshire community, including in Marlow and High Wycombe, and that's deeply relevant to the future of the project. We're continuing to build on a wide set of relationships we already have across the county in education, with local schools and universities, with local businesses through Chamber of Commerce and others, and with the many individuals and companies in the local community, including in Marlow, who work in the creative sector. We have these wide network of links already in place, and we see these relationships as integral to our engagement plan. Parish and town councils are, of course, also an important part of that engagement. Whilst some of our initial stages are going to be outside public view, we want to talk now to help us build an engagement plan that takes in as many views as possible to account, for and against. So do let us know what you think Marlow wants from this relationship and how we can best keep Marlow residents informed as the construction build-out process progresses. There are many questions that are not part of tonight's agenda, and I'll be able to answer them. But I do want to project our sense as an open door for residents across the region for questions they might want to ask and for people to feel informed. In the end, I want people to feel proud. Whether we get to that point is for us to us is our challenge. But I do think it's, I think it's an important ambition for us to start off with. And I thank you and everyone for their patience in the next phase of this implementation. So I've read that out just to make it right, but I want to leave then the floor open to you to talk as how you wish and ask me what I can say within, let's say, the agenda, which is how do we get this relationship working in a way that properly constructive for you and us.
I wonder if you could tell us in more detail what you have put in place already, so that we know what we're starting from. What is the baseline in terms of community engagement?
Our community engagement has been through in terms of our training outreach into Bucks New University. We ran a set of conferences there last year on training in the creative sector. Engaged with local students there with their local with helping filming projects. Our aim being there to see how do we build a properly distinctive contribution to the academy that we are building on site. So we have academy on site. We're trying to build a curriculum and thinking around that, and our engagement with Bucks University has been critical to that, as well as our engagement with those educationalists and others across Buckinghamshire, focusing on skills and training in the films area. So we're doing that similarly with Buxton University and indeed with the council in terms of building their LSIP programme for this coming year.
So as you've told us, you know, you can't tell us much about the timing of the project, etc., because yeah, it's too early doors. I feel that our residents today are not so much concerned about training, but they're concerned about the impact of the development of the project over the coming years until the studios are a running, you know, entity. So it'd be interesting to start our discussions on two fronts, not so much on the benefit of what's going on, but how you're going to communicate the different phases of the projects, how you're going to keep the community informed about the different phases of the project, how are we going to inform, give residents a voice so that they can, you know, phrase to you or voice to you directly their concern during the development of the project. I think it's important that we keep it at this stage because
sure,
the benefits are quite a few years away,
sure,
and some of us might still be there,
but no,
some of
no,
us
no,
might
no,
not.
I
think what we are... well, Jocelyn will be here. I think it's really important that the immediate concern of the residents of Marlow is not about the training.
No, no, it isn't. I was going to come on to other areas of engagement. I mean, I think if you live in Marlow, you might criticise us for over-communicating over the last few years. I think there's been a huge amount that we've done in terms of leafleting on our social media, on other things. So we have.
I would say about the teams. And what you hope to
Just in
answer to your question about what have we done already.
Yes.
It's actually, in honesty, it's just been very simple. My role has been to identify, you know, who it is in Marlow. We need to build bilateral conversations. We need to have conversations with, and so we've reached out to the Chamber of Commerce, to the Marlow Society, to some, you know, heads of school, careers leads in some of the schools locally, in theatre groups, you know, just a wide range of individuals who I meet up with on a regular basis, just to find out from them, you know, what their thoughts are, how things are sitting, you know, are we communicating enough? So it is actually, I'd say, there's no great mystique to it. It is literally just person-to-person conversations that we've established. So we've got a nice network already built, and then, but that was very much in expectation of whatever the outcome was going to be. Since the outcome, obviously, we're opening the network wider and making a more formal kind of conversation route. So that is really as simple as it's.
And I think
the
conversation will now be different, because I think in the past we were talking about the planning process and our getting it, and now we're talking about a building process, and it's a different thing. And I absolutely understand that people are going to feel that is the primary concern of them. What is this big thing that's being built on the edge of Marlow going to mean for them and their lives and their traffic and the environment and everything else? So I do see that point, and that requires a change of gear from us. We have, as I said, a network of personal relationships. We want to keep that social media door open, and we will continue to do it. We have a Facebook site, and people can write in and do write in. We have a site on our website which people write in and do write in for and against. We also will continue our personam engagements in the way that Deborah suggested with institutions, as many as we can, for and against, just to make sure that there's a personal contact taking place. But in terms of the detailed information on the construction process as it continues, there are various options for that. I know there's the option of working through you or working independently. We're very open to that, and perhaps when we it's not an issue for today, but it's clearly a critical issue that people in Marlow feel informed about. If there is going to be a delay on the A404 because of X, Y, and Z, that clearly they're told about it and they understand the reasons for it. So we absolutely understand that. Those mechanics of that in place are ones that we want to explore with you and feel confident. We can do various things. We can do things with you, we can do things independently of you, we can do lots of things. And that's important for practicalities of getting, of people feeling informed that it's right. And so feeling informed of the changes that are taking place. So we are open for all of those suggestions. I didn't want to come here and say we've got a plan to do X, Y, and Z and you have to sign up to it. I want to make us be open to essentially that this engagement plan emerges out of a dialogue with you and with others as to what works and is sensible for you.
Can I just ask a quick question? Because when Richard mentioned there about we think we put out a lot of stuff, there was a bit of a kind of like, I didn't get a sense people feel we have put out enough stuff. Do you feel that we have communicated well or
I think
enough
the language you're using, because I was communications consultant for the entire company,
yeah.
Is you're informing. Now that's a talking ad. You're saying we've informed and we'd like to inform you more and inform. I don't hear listening. And you, from listening you can get to massive change programmes like I used to do. Massive $1 billion ones. But you do have to take people with you and you do have to listen to them, give them some facts and then help them along the way. And I don't sense that that's happened in any shape or form here. All we hear are the bad stories of how bad the traffic, you know, that they're all going to have to pay for parking, especially down the southeast, where a few of us are.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think less on informing, because you can't inform much, because you don't know. Is it going to be like HS2 and be 20 years in the making? And be like the M25 at Wisley, you know, and we'll all be hell for 20 years. But it's more about engaging with the people and listening, and I think there's not enough of that. Maybe with the Marlow Society and Chamber and all that, I'm sure.
Can I add to that? Thank you very much for that. I think it's very important to acknowledge that organisations like Chamber of Commerce and Marlow Society do represent some of the residents of Marlow. There are a lot of residents in Marlow that are absolutely not represented by, and I think they happen to be quite a lot of them in the areas that would be the most affected by the construction. And I think one of the things that we need to really concentrate on tonight is to give those people a voice. They're not part of Marlow Society.
No.
As an example, I'm not pointing.
I absolutely agree, and I think listening is one of the reasons we're here is to listen.
Yeah.
And I think inevitably the planning process is by its structure, it's a rather adversarial one in its tone, and that's sort of fine and in the past. But there is what I think we are here to listen. We do want to make it work. We are, as I say, being an open door for people to engage independently, as individuals, as residents, rather than necessarily through any interlocutors, be yourself or anybody else. We are keen to make this as broad as possible. The last thing we want to do is to undercut any role you play as representatives here, but nonetheless we if it was just as simple of engaging with Little Marlow Council, the only thing we are obliged to do is to engage with Little Marlow Council. So clearly that's nonsense and we don't want to just be that, but we are trying to work out the other mechanisms that work in for us to both listen and inform.
Okay, so I'm going to add to that again.
Sure.
One, because I'm a resident on that estate, and I don't know how much of you have done a walk around that area, around the Wiltshire Road area, but it's cheek by jowl parking. And one of the residents, the questions they have raised is about parking. that area. It doesn't have level double yellow lines. It's again, the plans, there's not enough parking, 1,000 parking spaces, if I'm led to believe that's right, on a 4,000 job site. Again, psychology, you'll understand the psychology. So when people are fearful of the unknown, they don't react in their best. So what they need, the residents' needs that are fearful about the increasing already stress there is on parking on the estate that is closest to the Volvo Bridge, how are you willing to engage and meet with those residents and be able to help communicate that? Again, we are obviously willing to help. So again, as a possible suggestion, if you're open to it, so Jenny and I on the South East Ward have had one surgery where we've met with Red Kite and residents and local Bucks councillors. That's on their patch, that's in their territory, engaging, walking around the site, hearing their issues, empathising with them. Because again, that's key, to not be talked at, not given, use the term, sort of glossy leaflets. It's person-to-person connection. That's how you give people the facts that will help them allay the fears. Would you be possibly open to a resident surgery? As I say, we are running them regularly.
Entirely. The part of the argument is gone over at length, and we are confident in our position that it won't impact the park local area. The point is, we're trying to build a global standard facility that people want to come and work in, and production companies want to come and put their companies and their staff in, because it is the greatest place in the world to work. That doesn't involve parking along the road and you know, having to take it and hitchhike a lift in. We are confident we have that covered. However, I absolutely understand it's a critical issue.
Yeah, and it's not happening.
And
let's just say it's not. That's why I'm bringing it.
And it's not happening. And clearly, the parking, although we're not, I mean, the parking is an issue here and everywhere else, and we aren't going to turn up and solve the parking problem in Marlow. Indeed, the parking problem in Marlow may well get worse without us or with us. However, I'm absolutely prepared to engage with these communities to understand those concerns and not to say they're wrong, but to say this actually should be the impact here, this is what we think is happening. And if you think we are not abiding by what we are committing to, and we have committed to as part of the planning process, you know, then I'm very happy for you to raise that. So absolutely, I have no problem with this, I have no problem with conversations that begin in a necessarily adversarial role. These are issues about which people feel rightly passionate. If it was my house, I'd feel rightly passionate. So I don't. That's not a problem. But absolutely, engagement and conversation is what we want to try and instill. Absolutely right.
I sit on the bid board.
Yes.
The business park, and we already in the business park have very limited parking and a huge parking need. So, as I understood the publicity, there's going to be parking for 1,000 spaces on your site. But there's always been talk that there's going to be at least 4,000 people coming in.
Can we not make this conversation about the
parking? It's just about that area of Marlow is going to be flooded with excess vehicles.
So how does that link the 1,000 versus the 4,000?
Well, I don't want to...
There's a lot out there
in the public realm about our response to the planning problem, and it's not a simple calculation between 1,000 and 4,000 employees who's working there. The number of production companies in it is more complicated, and we are absolutely confident that we have parking for the people inside the premises. That said, engagement with Beaupark is a critical part of it. There are lots of points that are obviously concerned of them. Parking access to the premises by building through the roundabout. Both the opportunities and of further companies coming to Beaupark because of attracted by that sort of the magnet that the studio is going to represent. So talking to them is absolutely critical, and we've done so. We have engaged in the past at a sort of an official level. I think it is absolutely now time to talk with them, and very happy to do that. We offered it last year, actually, it wasn't taken up, but we're very happy to do that this year, listening and informing and engaging. Clearly, getting Globe Park, we see Globe Park as an integral part of a creative Marlowe. I mean, it's fabulous. It's a, it's office space and accommodation for offices of creative and tech companies that can only add to the lustre of this extraordinary town. So we want to be a partner there, and we want to start those conversations.
Anybody else? Janice?
So sort of linked to that in a way, the engagement about being able to walk, wheel and cycle to your site.
Are we talking about communication now? Yeah.
So the communication there being particularly about those people who may use those routes, but also the people who will be affected once you've got your bridge in place.
Yeah.
So can you give us an indication of what your plan is for communication, both with the people who may use that facility in the future, whether they're coming to your site or traversing it, and then also the idea of those people who will be affected in the construction of this wonderful
bridge? I think it's a complicated issue. It's going through various discussion phases now in parallel with the planning permission. And those that are impacted are there are particular individuals, cyclists, others, those that are used to walking there. We want to set up forums in which they can express their concerns and otherwise. I've absolutely no reason why we shouldn't. It's a complicated issue, and there are things to talk about. And when the planning process emerges into the public arena, absolutely right. We are trying to create a space on the other side of the A404 that is attractive for local residents to use. It is attractive now. We can make it more attractive. We can make this a place that is where you can walk and run and cycle. That's what our objective is. It's what is clearly set out in our plan, and what the planning inspector interrogated us at considerable length to give her confidence that we were plausible on that. Communicating on it is an issue, and this is one issue of which there will be others. Planning, which we mentioned, traffic, that access to the local area, the environmental impact on the area, what we're doing there. Flooding has always been an issue that's been raised in the past. All of these have come through. We've been through them all in the planning inquiry, but that doesn't mean that the people impacted are not so concerned and don't have points to make. We need to set up those forums in which those conversations happen. Mm-hmm. And I'm very open to whatever is possible, and when I say I,
you mentioned two groups. You mentioned the users of the bridge and those impacted by the construction. So how do you think we would best get up and get any communication out to them?
The people impacted most about the construction, the same people that Emma and Jenny and Kathy talked about. So they are absolutely critical from that point of view. I think separately to that, you've got people who already use the bridge, but so many more that could use the passage right the way through. I think the earlier you can listen and give information, two-way information to these people, the better. And it would be interesting to know, are you expecting them to come to you, or is this something that you would like them now to come to you and say, can we have a talk about our concerns? What is it that you are offering at this point?
Well, it's exactly, I think, as we said at the beginning, we're here to find out. We have another, it was very early stages about everything. And so you're getting in right at the outset, so we can design something. So I've noted down here surgeries with residents, something which has been supported. But if it's a case of we use Positively Marlowe or whatever, any of the Facebook sites, we put stuff out there, or whether we do a leaflet drop around places that are affected. How do we get, if you're talking about getting a message out, rather we can't go and knock on everybody's door and say there's going to be some work being done. So what do you think is the best way, the easiest way, the way that people's going to make people feel that we are caring about
them? You're going to have to conduct, because this is what my job was many years ago, that face-to-face high concern is not social media. In fact, it's the opposite. Any sort of media, email, social media, internet, nothing like that works. In fact, it does the opposite, and it starts all the fighting. You need to get together groups of people, and it'll be hard work. And you start with what I call a red section, where you let people go,
And you do, you have to get that out to listen to some good things and then to start to engage with. And there is a system, I can tell you what it, I can show you what I used to do, and that would really make a massive difference. They don't feel listened to. And I know you don't know all the facts, but when you're doing a global project for British Airways like I did, no one knows how it's going to, which country's next. But you can listen and get the section, the red section out. And I think the concern is people haven't felt listened to. And going, that's all.
No,
and that doesn't mean we're all against it.
No, I understand. And essentially,
do you understand?
Seeking planning permission on both sides and contesting that decision has been a tough struggle.
Yeah.
And lines have been drawn up and emotions are heightened and all that other stuff. I think we're absolutely through that. I absolutely take on point of view. I have no problem in sitting in a room with anybody who wants to talk things and listen to their point of view and help them in providing information that satisfies them or fails to satisfy them.
And is it just you two, the communications team?
Well, we have others.
We have
a number of agencies who are helping with this. We had an agency before I came on board, and I moved on from that because I don't think there's any way of subcontracting out this stuff. I want to feel that this is somebody working in the business who's responsible, but employed by the business rather than correct. So it may mean that there are fewer of us, but I think it adds a level of directness and authenticity rather than just something putting it to a process. We have to design a mechanism whereby people feel that they can coalesce around particular issues and engage us. Absolutely right. We want to feel individuals can do so. Absolutely right. We don't want to say you're not impacted by the bill, so you can't talk on this, or you're not a cyclist, so you can't. There has to be a sense in we are open to that wider range. So absolutely, we're tiptoeing into this arena. We're trying to make sure that it's we get it right, and that we're not imposing a too sort of. There is a system, of course, but too systemic a process in which people feel actually they're just the result of a PR blitz. Mm-hmm. We're very good at PR. We can do as much PR. I've no problem with PR.
Yeah.
This has to be authentic. And it is, as you're absolutely right, human interaction is the best way both of informing people, listening, and making sure people feel listened to.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I have to say, there have been lots of opportunities, both from us and from other sides, to engage. The process over the last 4 or 5 years has made those opportunities perhaps a little bit more complicated and difficult. But we are through that now, and we are now in an environment where the debate is not Marlow Studios or not. We are proceeding, and we want to make sure that Marlow feels absolutely as engaged in this and having all those opportunities put over their point of view.
So my question, you've mentioned, Richard, about forums and obviously surgery that we've already sort of started having a programme of in South East Ward. I'm interested to know what your thoughts are about a consistent sort of ongoing scrutiny panel or some such collection of stakeholders like that, which would include residents. I think particularly the impacted residents in the South East Ward. What resources would you have and what appetite would you have for something like that?
I have no sort of ideological or otherwise objection to that. It's a great idea. I mean, I think where I'm slightly nervous, because I'm a I don't want to be in a room full of 200 people, in adversarial engagement, because I don't think that is a constructive environment. So I think one's trying to do to choreograph in a way that there's a proper exchange, there's a professional attitude on both sides of the fence, and that we are held to account for our views, and whilst we can answer some of the things, we can't answer others, but nonetheless we're held to account. But I have no problem in a regular process of meetings. I have no problem any process that you feel happy with or that residents feel happy with.
I think what it is, it's going to be a blend of different forums, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's going to be where, as you rightly say, Cathy, where residents have the opportunity to vent.
Yeah.
You're going to have other sorts of stakeholders who will want to have a voice and be involved. But also you need to have a sort of ongoing, what I see as being important, is a scrutiny panel of sorts, which is ongoing. And residents can feed their views in, but it's basically going to hold you to account and be problem solving if it needs to be.
Could you to build on that, Jen? So part of the planning is the planning consent included a community liaison committee.
Yes.
Of which, so we've got Bucks representative, Little Mara representative in there, and yourselves.
Yeah.
So is there any room, answering your idea, Jenny, of including a Mara representative, Mara town representative in that committee? Because that could be, you know, one of the bridges.
Yeah.
I mean, it's Buckingham Council's decision, not our. I mean, the formal planning process gives those three, and that's the community liaison process.
So that's sorry for interrupting you. That's the Bucks.
Buckingham Council, essentially, they lead it, they convene it, they call it, they call us all together, and they start the process.
Okay.
My concern about that is that quite a formulaic process. I mean, it is the way that the planning commissioners demand and have done it. I don't think it's enough. I don't think it's enough with Little Marlow. I think there are a lot of other people in Little Marlow who need to be connected with rather than through that process. It doesn't meet frequently enough. It's too constrained. It's a committee. Anything that feels like a committee is not really what I think is what we're looking for here. So I think you're joining that. I'd say that's a Buckingham decision. I'm not sure that's the answer. I think there are other forums that we can create within Marlow that are talking about Marlow issues. I mean, one of the things about Little Marlow and West Wampa is there are very specific issues relating to that community that are not Marlow's community. There are other issues, and I think one wants to give them pay them the respect of having a forum in which actually those issues are properly dealt with.
Mm-hmm.
But Marlow's issues were slightly different. Absolutely, there are bodies there. I just like something that has a sort of a flexibility about it, and rather feels the notion of seen as too interrogative or too. We have an obligation to listen, and we have an obligation to keep you informed, and to make sure that you're informed on the basis of what we listen to. That we hear.
We just
need to set those forums up and make that feel right.
Can I? I think, Richard, there will be a few unpleasant forums.
I think
they are very, very important. Mm-hmm. Like you say, the community is very passionate about this project. And not everybody is going to send you roses for your success. It's really important for the residents,
yes.
Like Kathy said, to vent. And
mm-hmm.
there will be a few forums, but they're needed, where people will be unpleasant. And we know it's going to happen, and I think it's healthy that it's happening. Because it's better out than in.
Yeah.
And
yes.
If you want to gain the support of the community, like Kathy said, you need to listen to the discontent in the community as much as the praise.
If you use a process
that does this, you will get engagement. I mean, we got the French and the Belgians and the Dutch to do things the French would never do. But by listening and engaging and listening and really trying to meet their needs, it's called targeting. It's like external marketing. You target your audience, you'll take them with you. And you manage that vent. You don't just have the whole meeting on vent, because that's bloody awful.
No, I think that's, I mean, my
and that's
point.
To,
I absolutely do not mind. I've been absolutely clear right from the beginning. I don't mind people who oppose, talking to people who oppose, or people who have views on it or against. I have to say, there are a lot of people that are very positive as well. It's not my job to listen to them any more than to somebody else. I understand the breadth of views on this, and I'm not prohibiting any of those discussions. And yes, it might help. I just want to make sure that they're convened and managed in such a way as once the venting has happened, that we may move on to a constructive phase of the conversation, because the emotion is very easy to fire up for and against, and that only gets us so far.
Yep, agreed.
The pop-up you did at the municipal court with the planning, well, not you,
yeah.
It was the consultants during the planning process, the pop-up in municipal court, but was very good, just a drop-in for people.
Mm-hmm.
So something like that, when you know what's happening,
yep.
A bit more,
yeah.
Yeah,
it was
really in the central Marlow somewhere.
It was interesting. It wasn't used very much,
no.
And that was slightly concerned about it. I mean,
it in
in the local area. I think,
and I think there are some way of putting some. Mm. There's actually a drop in. There's a digital drop in already, but the drop ins are fine. I think the thing is there has to. I think there is some structure around how the meetings are held and people who feels to participating and the issues covered. So things like agenda and topics to talk about is all gives it a bit of shape to it. But there may well be opportunities where people just turn up and say, "I'm worried about traffic," and then we say, "Tell us more. Why are you worried about traffic? What particular street you live in? What's happened? Why are you worried?" And we say, "I hope we'll say in the end, we've got an answer to that, or we've got something that you can believe or disbelieve." A lot of it around this debate, I have to say, is actually about building trust.
Mm-hmm.
Because if you're, I think we found, to some extent, it's given the turbulence around it, some of it is that almost whatever we say, it's not believed.
Mm.
And that's simply because if you have trust from some parts of the community and not trust from the others. We want to get a better relation of trust for a wider section of the population, knowing there will be people that will oppose us until the end of time.
Yeah, and that is so all about connection.
And that is all
about
connection.
Leaflets and propaganda and
pop-ups. It is
about connection again. It is about meeting the people that
are
most affected. Yeah,
absolutely.
You know.
Yes, it is. And are most passionate. Taking into account that many people the affected may not actually be the people that go through the normal channels, and that my concern as much as anything else is to reach people who are impacted rather than those that are necessarily the most vociferous.
Okay.
For and against.
Fine. Yeah. Justin, any comments?
Just a quick comment. So logistically, Marlow is the sanctuary is the issue effectively for the residents of Marlow. And probably the net constituency is what, you tell me there's 2,000 properties there?
Probably that much.
So when you say you can't knock on every door, I would start to suggest you could knock on every door. If you have 20 people, 2,000 homes, you've got 100 homes each, you can knock on every door and ask these questions.
It was more of a case of when we have bits of information to share, so about there's a traffic thing happening, or there's this happening, that on those occasions we wouldn't be able to go on every door. But I have nothing against the idea of door knocking. Yeah, absolutely.
And we have knocked on doors in Westfield Park, in other words.
It's just when we talk about building up trust and face-to-face contact.
I
hear that we can't knock on doors.
No, we can. And I think just every door in Marlow is packed.
It's 2,000 properties.
In that part, you're absolutely right. And that's the conversation we hope to have a little Marlow couple of weeks' time, and absolutely we expect that sort of level of engagement.
Good.
And we've indeed had that level of engagement over the last 5 years.
Good.
Brian,
Gary?
Well, I'm here to listen, which I think was our brief. I was told, come along and listen, which is what I'm doing.
Good.
I certainly wouldn't be proposing to be offering consultancy advice on how to communicate, because I'm sure you're being paid for that already. So I've got nothing to add on that. And also, as a town council, all the engagement we've done on this is to put out a press release to say, we're having a private meeting, do you have any questions? And that did not exactly generate a lot of feedback. So we ourselves are perhaps not good at communication engagement at times. So I prefer to keep listening to what your plans are and what your thinking is, and work on how we can collaborate in some way to help build on that.
Okay, well, we're listening too, which that's what I'm not going to be talking about. But I quite agree. Thank you very much for that. And I understand that as a council, and particularly Marlow Council, private meetings carry a weight of reputation here that I don't want to even begin to go into, so let's sort of go there. But I think there will have to be an opportunity to talk to one or some of you in circumstances that are not always on a tape recorder, we're trying to run a business, we've got practical questions to answer, we have conversations over email and otherwise, and that mechanism I think will be, I think if every engagement with you as a council or in individual councillors is seen as an informal body, then you may be missing something. If that's the way you want to conduct it, that's absolutely fine. But I just think that sense of that, somebody at least being a contact point whom I can chat to or ring up, whatever, can talk to and say, how about this, and next meeting we're going to do this, that and the other, without it being, have to, everything to be absolutely formal, would be great. And I think, the better we get to know each other, the more I'll be able to say, the more indiscretions I'm sure I can make, but as I said, that will come through informal, through us building a sense of trust, and that sense of it, I can understand you have a responsibility to people who voted for you, and from others who feel that secret meetings are not what anybody wants, and I absolutely understand the concerns there, but how do we work those practical realities of actually getting the business done without it always having to be formalised is something worth exploring, I think, and see what we get.
You're aware of the constraint of freedom of information and the fact that we have to disclose everything that we do and all emails that we exchange and all these things that take place.
I am entirely aware of that. I've worked for government, I know absolutely that. I think that's absolutely fine. I think it's, and it wasn't, we were talked originally there about this on the minuted and conversations, but it's just an issue one to be resolved, not immediately but in time, about how the word does informal.
It's an issue for you for the moment. It's not an issue for us.
Well, then, yeah, it's not an issue for us.
I think it's important to mention it here. Nobody says here that it's an issue.
No. Okay. But it may be in the end if our dialogue is constrained by everything having to take place in a formal meeting. It may not be as rich a dialogue as you want, and you may find that fine, and we may find that fine. But there may be other opportunities. That's what I'm saying. But I understand also the complications around it, the freedom of information, other acts. It's not about keeping secret meetings. It's about recording anything. It's just about an environment and trust in which we can have conversations in which we're not expecting everything to be recorded. But who knows? Maybe that's fine, and we can live with that. It's just if from the business world, that's an unusual way to conduct it.
For me, transparency is one of the conditions to build trust.
Yeah.
And if we're already talking in this early engagement about not disclosing all information, I feel slightly uncomfortable.
No, I'm not talking about not disclosing information. I'm just talking about having a sense of being able to talk to the clerk or otherwise, with a sense of directness and a capacity to say things and be entirely open about things, even if it's on an email on the phone, in which that phone call isn't being recorded without my knowledge, for example, or my presence at a meeting isn't being recorded without my knowledge. Now, I understand all of that, and they may be the rules of engagement we want, but if we have forums around the town, are all of those forums going to be recorded and put on a public record? It may well be what you want, it may be what we come up to, but I just think it's an issue worth thinking about, because it just may not be a practical way of advancing this if everything is in public form. If that's the way you wish to do it, then that's fine by us, but it's used for us all to talk about.
I think in our engagement between the town council and the studios is simply on community engagement. I'm struggling to think of a situation where there might be something that is commercially sensitive in some way.
No, that's not the one.
And if it was, then that's fine, because actually there are exemptions within the FOI that can preclude from all things being shared. So I don't think that's actually the problem.
No, that's right, Gary. I mean, on issues of communication, there is no problem. But if there is something commercially sensitive, we would want to feel that there was a channel through which that information, if it was necessary to pass it, and if we wanted to, and we felt it was showing benefit to do so without it having to be passed the public session. Otherwise, we won't pass it. So that's my point. We want to feel that there are opportunities and there's a channel there for things that are commercially sensitive to do.
And I guess the nature of it is that people's reactions, responses and behaviours will differ when they know they're being recorded.
That's also true, actually.
Yeah. Frank, do you have anything to add?
Well, it's more a summary, I think, of all the different things. So it's also here to listen, but also take notes, as I usually do. So I think, and it ties in with some of the questions that we received from residents around, well, is there going to be someone who's going to be the liaison that residents can go to on certain topics, on certain issues, if they see something for feedback? So I think things that have come up are, can you set up a forum for potentially specifically the active travel users of the bridge, of the rights of way on that domain, and sort of listen to them? And I think it's beyond the inform, it's also listening and taking their feedback on board how that may be possible to tweak within your planning permission, tweak and improve the plans to accommodate their needs, for example. And then similarly, you know, with the other suggestion, one setting up some sort of regular, ongoing residence community engagement platform, again, not just to inform, but also a dial, and not just, you know, not for you to inform them necessarily, and not for them to inform you how they might disagree, but also with that feedback built in, right, and having an iteration. I think the third one was resident surgeries in the Southeast Ward and joining those in person,
mm-hmm.
engaging with the Globitco there as well.
Could I just quickly add?
Yeah, sure.
I don't think it's just necessarily engagement with Southeast that they will be affected,
mm-hmm.
but there are others across the whole of Marlow,
yeah.
who will be affected.
Traffic straight away
affects the whole of Marlow.
Yeah,
you know, and everything. So I think don't just constrain yourselves to those who live adjacent to the site.
Yeah.
Think of the wider.
No, we're not. I mean, we're not constrained. We say come from a point of we think we understand that, you know, the sensitivity of the issue of traffic now. Let alone when we're built in 4 or 5 years' time. So, I mean, that's an issue on which we now can do little to help. And we have plans to alleviate the consequences of us being there in 5 years' time, which are fully in the pub record. Having an opportunity to bring people together who are concerned about traffic from across Marlow,
yeah.
We absolutely see that as an opportunity for a forum. In which we can deliver. There are such things as traffic experts, which I wouldn't wish on anybody really, but they can talk to the entity about that. But the thing is to actually try and work with them on what are you concerned? So you have some idea, a clearer, crystallised idea about what our proposals are. And I'm very happy to do all of that. Absolutely right. No problem with that.
Fifth one on my list. After the Globitco was actually considering, once you've got more information, once that's appropriate, having some sort of permanent drop-in location, maybe not necessarily on the high street, could be at the HQ, where anyone can drop in with finding out more information. Appreciate now too early, but later on.
Yeah, I'm sure that no reason why that should be a problem. I mean, I think, no reason why that should be a problem. I mean, essentially, it'll happen almost irrespective of whether or not you want to do, which is fine. That's great.
Just out of interest, do you think something like site visits conducted by one of us or somebody with information would be interesting to residents?
When there's a site to be visited.
Well, I mean, the site is there, but, and again, you know, we can. It was something that's been proposed throughout, is just to take people up there and talk them through where things will be, what's happening, what the plans are, and what have you. And again, it's just a sense of sharing knowledge. Because, you know, we've known people, if they have knowledge, it doesn't create that vacuum of worry and concern. So, like you say, just to throw out there in case people think that might be something.
It's an
offer.
You go and up on my list. So, my list is not so good if you go first.
It's just mindful we've only got
2 minutes till 7.
We talked about the cycling, walking, and we're saying then for those, that group, they should come straight to you, should they, to try and...
Yeah, I've got cards here, so I'll hand them out and take as many as you want. I've got about 400 to get through, so at least just take them and just share them.
And there's two other groups who've asked me about things, and one of those is a group that's quite impressed at what you've said you're going to be doing on energy, and they're keen to try and find out and make sure that, you know, the understanding that you are doing what you're saying, and also to see whether there's any synergy that can be done there. And another group that's very, very keen on the environment, obviously feeling very bruised as to what's going to happen and how to try and communicate and see that, you know, it will be truly wonderful for all environmental things afterwards.
On energy, I've had some really exciting potential conversations about what we could do interesting on energy. I'd love to have other ones. You know, the plans are the plans, and they were done 5 years ago, 4 years ago. And there's lots of, there is, who knows what the room for opportunity is there. I said absolutely right. And on the environment, yes, absolutely. We have very happy to talk to what our plans are and to work to make an environment that is conducive and deals with the problems. So absolutely right. Those are both issues on which that would be fine. And there's a lot of walking around the grounds on the latter one that gives us a clear idea about what people's actual concerns and what they want, and that's Harry Hatfield.
Thank you. Super. So we've got three questions. I'm going to talk fast, and you don't have to answer them today, but I think from what everything that we've discussed today, there's a lot of direct resident engagement, forums, cleanings, drop-in, I think all knocking on doors, all good. I think it's really important that we also part of the communication with other parishes at the same time, because yes, we will have unique issues for Marlow, but we will share common concerns, and I think it's important that we are there is an opportunity for all parishes affected to be together with you in the room at the same time, because I think I'm a strong believer in collaboration, not just with you but with the other guys. So I think it's important. The other thing is we need to find a way to communicate and understand how the development of your project impacts our project as a council. Because we have our plans, you've got your plan, and you know, I can already think of you know, things that might not, you know, there might be things that might not go in the same direction, so we need to find a way to capture that somewhere. And you know, finally, in whatever you do, I think regularity and consistency and reliability of communication is very, very important. So I would suggest that it becomes a feature in people's calendar. You know, they know that if they turn up at that place on that day, first Monday of the month, whatever you choose, they know they're going to find somebody to answer their questions. And there might be themes across the month, but I think regularity and knowing that there will be somebody facing the questions and taking them and giving feedback on the previous questions that have been given could start building that trust that you've talked about, but certainly generate a healthy dialogue. Voila.
Yeah.
Voila. So
we've got probably 30 seconds to say thank you or any other comments, ladies and gentlemen.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. Thank you.